Good morning. Happy New Year's.
The
full church. Amen. Wow. Thanks be to God. Right, Pastor. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you on this wonderful day and in this new year, Father. We just ask that you go before us, Lord, in everything we do. And we thank you, Lord, that we hear your ancient words that do change us, Father, in many ways, and continue to sanctify us in everything we do. And Lord, we just pray that you open the hearts and the minds of everyone to receive your ancient words today, Lord, as we study your word. And we just praise you, we love you in this new year, and we say all this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Living in the truth. That is my sermon title today. And it is the way to live. Amen?
Amen.
If we don't live in the truth, all the darkness will be brought out into the light. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so now that we made it through Christmas and New Year's, which I believe was very much improved over the last couple of years. Amen. Thanks be to God, right? Amen. Let's continue to give thanks to the Lord, you know. Continue to give thanks and pray. Pray for an even more improved 2022. Because, you know, the Lord's calling us all to be the hands and feet of Christ. He's calling us all to be the hands and feet of Christ. So let's live in the truth. And let's be the hope for the hopeless at Amazing Grace this year. Amen? And that's going to be our motto for 2022. Amen? Hope for the hopeless. I'm still working on the banner, but it's going to be out here pretty soon. Amen? All right. So let's get back to, we're at 2 Thessalonians. And we're talking about where Paul was talking about, or just finished talking about, Pastor Rick's last sermon on Thessalonians. He had just finished talking about how the man of lawlessness was deceiving those who were already perishing. The man of lawlessness was deceiving those who were already perishing and was deceiving those and refused to love the truth. So it's a lot easier to believe the lies of the devil when we're not in God's Word. Amen? When we're not in God's Word, it's very easy to believe the lies of the devil. So, you know, we got to have Jesus in our heart 24/7. Amen? So he also talked about how Satan will use all sorts of displays of power through signs and wonders to deceive us. So if you hear or see something that goes against the Word of God, you know, don't believe it. Rebuke it. Test it. Test it to the Word of God. Amen? If someone is claiming that God gave them special powers or a special knowledge of the second coming, or even claiming to be a God themselves, it's a lie. Turn around and run the other way. Amen? Amen? It is a lie. It was a lie then, and it's a lie now. But Paul is saying that you will know when a tribulation comes by the onset of the Antichrist. That we will know. We will know. And the day of the Lord will not come until the rebellion occurs and the man of lawlessness is revealed. And we know who the man of lawlessness is, right? We know who that is. Pastor Rick preached about that, the evil one. Amen. And so Paul is telling them this because they were being persecuted for their faith. And the Thessalonians thought that they were going through the tribulation. They thought they were already going through the tribulation. So Paul's reassuring them. He's saying to live in the truth, despite any persecution that you face, live in the truth. Because if you refuse to love the truth, God just may, and the next verses say, verse 11 says, for this reason, God sends them a powerful delusion so they will believe the lie. So Paul is saying that the wicked and their refusal to love the truth and be saved will perish, and their perishing will be made evident by, by being deceived by the lawless one. So, you're going to be able to tell the non-believers because they're going to be the ones that are deceived. Amen? They're going to be the ones that are deceived. And then God's going to send them a powerful delusion at the same time so they will believe the lie. And that's scary, right? So God's not only saying, okay, go ahead and believe the lie, but He's also saying, if you do, I'm going to help you jump off that bridge. Amen. I'm going to give you a delusion. I'm going to help you. And that's a scary thought. Amen. None of us want to be in that situation. None of us want to be that far away from God. Amen. So the love of the truth was not attractive to the unbelievers. That's the main message here. That the love of the truth was not attractive to the unbelievers. These people were going to receive the Antichrist because they didn't love Jesus Christ. Amen? They were going to receive the Antichrist because they didn't love Jesus Christ. They would receive the Antichrist because of His smooth words, His amazing works, and initially, the Antichrist would have all the answers to their problems. And that's how it's going to be for this world, for the second coming as well. Amen? When the Antichrist comes first, He's going to have all the answers. And the ones who are not in God's Word are the ones who are going to believe and follow this man. Amen? That was like the most, I guess, scary, gruesome Antichrist picture I could find, I guess. I don't know. I don't even know what this means down here, but I'm sure it's not good. Amen? And I don't even want to know. But so... He, you know what it means, Pastor?
No fluff.
Oh, no fluff. That's what it says. No fluff. Right. Amen. I should have known. Wow. So, the Antichrist is going to draw the world into a final one world system. My brother Shark used to talk about this all the time. A final one world system that will be a political system. It's going to be a political system. It's going to be an economic system, one world currency. When you start hearing about a one world currency, get ready. Amen? One world currency. It's even going to be a religious system. It's going to be a global religious system. Amen? So if one global religion starts trying to take over the world, get ready. Amen? Much of the world is going to be fooled. But those of us who stay in God's Word, We're gonna be able to judge with discernment. Amen? We're gonna be able to tell what's from God and what's not if we stay in the Word. Amen? And this is why every Christian should be alert and at work constantly awaiting the second coming of our Lord and Savior. Not looking for people doing signs and wonders, not looking for someone with a new revelation of the coming of the Lord, but being ready, studying God's Word and living in the truth. Hence my sermon title. Amen? Living in the truth. John 8:42-44 said, Jesus said to them, "If God were your Father, you would love me. For I came from God and now am here. I have not come on my own, but He sent me. Why is my language not clear to you? Because you are unable to hear what I say. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him." If they didn't believe in the truth, if we don't believe in the truth, then the Lord says that we belong to the devil. Amen? The Lord is saying if we don't believe in the truth or live in the truth, we belong to the devil. So Matthew 24:36 says, "But about the day and the hour, no one knows, not even the Son, not even the angels in heaven, but only the Father." Only the Father knows. If someone says that they know when the Lord is coming back, do not be deceived. Do not be deceived, for the Lord will come like a thief in the night. No one knows. Amen? The Lord will come like a thief in the night. Believe God's Word and rebuke anything or anyone that goes against it. If someone says they know when Jesus is coming back, they're going against the Word of God. Verse 12 says, "And so that all will be condemned who have not believed the truth, but have delighted in wickedness." Be careful, because if you don't live in the truth and find out and find pleasure in wickedness, you will be easily deceived by the Antichrist when he does come. If you don't believe in the truth and you live and you're happily in your wickedness, you will fall for the Antichrist. And when the restrainer of the truth is lifted and the man of lawlessness is revealed, you will follow him like sheep to a slaughter rather than sheep to the good shepherd. Amen. We'll follow him like sheep to the slaughter. There was a man named Ed Wood who shared a story about an Indian. I think we probably preached about this story before, but who had come to Christ. And when asked about his newfound faith, he described it as having two dogs living inside of him. He had two dogs living inside of him. One is like an old dog. He is mean, vicious, unmanageable, and downright untrainable. Sounds like my dog. The second is like a new dog that's obedient, longs to serve Christ, and gives attention to the Lord. So he described the two dogs as always having to fight to get his attention and wanting to have control over his entire life. So when asked what dog wins, he replied back with saying, the one that I feed the most. The one that I feed the most. In dealing with sinful nature, Christians have to become like a man who owns an old dog who is untrainable and refuses to obey. The old dog always finds trouble when he's turned loose. The old dog always finds trouble. He'll bite children. He'll cause a path of destruction wherever he goes. And finally, the law will show up at his door. And with a court order informing this man that he must fulfill his duty and restrain the dog for the protection of himself and the safety of the community. Thus, the man restrains the dog with something that is stronger than himself. He puts the dog on a chain. Now, were the Thessalonians following Christ and believing in the truth? Are we following Christ and believing in the truth? The truth is like that chain that restrains the old vicious dog. Amen? That's what the truth is like. And when the restrainer is lifted, the man and the dog of lawlessness will be revealed. Amen. When the chain is lifted, when the restrainer is lifted, the man of lawlessness will be revealed. The restrainer is not only the truth, but the Holy Spirit as well. Amen. The way, the truth, and the life, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit. That's what's with us here right now. That's what's been with us all along. Amen. When that's lifted, the Antichrist will come. When the restrainer of the Holy Spirit is lifted, I sure hope I'm not here. Amen? I sure hope I'm not here. But I do hold true to Romans 8:1. Amen? There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That pretty much sums up today's sermon too, right? There's no condemnation when we are in Christ Jesus. John 3:19 says, and this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Because their deeds were evil. So are your deeds evil or are your deeds good? How is your time spent? How's most of your time spent? How's your church attendance? How's your Bible study attendance? How's your prayer life? The more we live for Christ, the more we live in Christ, and the less we will believe the Antichrist. What comes first in our lives? And despite all the darkness that is to be revealed, Paul gives thanks in the next verses. He says in verse 13, but we ought always to thank God for you, brothers and sisters, loved by the Lord, because God chose you first as first fruits, to be saved by the sanctifying work of the Spirit and through belief in the truth. Faith. So Paul's saying, and because of your faith, I am bound to give thanks to God for you because your faith is growing exceedingly. You have much love for one another and you are showing great patience in the face of persecution. Great patience, much love, and much faith. In the middle of all this persecution, they're showing faith, love, patience, and once again, Paul's giving thanks for them and their refusal to believe the lies. He taught them well, amen? He taught them well. So what safeguards the church from believing the lies of the enemy, both then and today? What safeguards the church? It's the Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? The Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit. And where's the power of the Holy Spirit? It's in us, right here, right now. Amen? So, God's Holy Spirit can give us the power of discernment. God's Holy Spirit can give us that power of discernment. The power to see the lies of the enemy in every aspect of life. To see the lies of the enemy coming. Amen? If someone comes knocking at your door saying they want to talk to you about Jesus from a New World Translation, you should soon discern that their Bible is much different than ours is. Amen? Now that discernment comes from studying God's Word. Amen? That's how we know. Are we steadfast in God's Word? Or are we being taught the truth? Or are we being the first fruits and teaching the truth to others? The good news for all people. Being the first fruits means that God chose us. He sanctified us and is sending us out as good news for all people. The Great Commission. Then and now. A well-known speaker was saying on social media that God said in Numbers, he made this up, okay? God said in Numbers 11:23, Moses, is there any limit to my power? You saw me part the Red Sea, stop the sun for Joshua, and keep three Hebrew teens safe in a fiery furnace. Now don't you realize that I can bring water without rain? Did you guys hear anything wrong with that verse or that statement that I just read? Did you guys hear anything wrong? Some of the things happen after Moses died, right? So it's not all true. let me read it again. So you saw me part the Red Sea, okay? Okay. Stop the sun for Joshua. Moses didn't see God stop the sun for Joshua, right? He was dead already, right? Amen? He also said Moses saw God keep the teens alive in the furnace. I don't think so. That was centuries later, right? In Babylon, right? Centuries later. But 317,000 people liked that statement that he put on social media. And 55,000 people shared it. And no one rebuked it. No one rebuked it or denied it. That is the condition of a lot of the church today. You know, we read stuff, we just believe it, and, you know, I'm not saying us in particular, but, you know, that's the state of a lot of the church today. And we're not listening with discernment. We're not listening with discernment. And this is why it's so important for us to study the Word of God together. Together. Not just by ourselves, but together. It keeps us safe from the evil one, and it keeps us safe from false doctrine. And this is why Paul would say to the Thessalonians, I give thanks on your behalf because they would not believe the lie. Because they were taught well by the Apostle Paul. And they held fast to their beliefs. And that's why we practice expository preaching here at Amazing Grace. Because we want you to know the truth. We want you to know exactly what the Bible is saying. Amen? We want to explain it to you. That's the definition of it. When we know the truth, we can discern the lies of the evil one. And that's what Paul is saying. And that's why he's giving thanks for the Christians in Thessalonica. Paul also says, for you brothers and sisters who are loved by the Lord, the gift of salvation given from God to us is a gift of love demonstrated through the giving of His very own Son. That's the love He has for us. Jeremiah 31:3 said, in speaking to the people of Israel, the Lord appeared to us in the past saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with unfailing kindness. God's love is everlasting, and it's a free gift because of the cross. It's a free gift. Amen? Everlasting and a free gift. Salvation will elude those who refuse the love of the truth. Spurgeon wrote, we are one in Christ. Let us be friends with one another. But let us never be friends with one another's error. If I be wrong, rebuke me sternly. I can bear it and bear it cheerfully. And if ye be wrong, expect the like measure from me, and neither peace nor parley with your mistakes. Let us all be true to one another and true to Christ. And as soon as we perceive an error, though it may be as the shadow of one, let us root it out and drive it from us, lest it plague the whole body and put leprosy in the entire fabric of the church. You will hear many men admire the preacher who deals in generalities, but when he comes to press home searching questions, by and by they are offended. So he's saying, check yourselves, right? Some are too busy criticizing the minister, his or her style of preaching, and their doctrine, and do not realize that their own soul may be perishing. Let's live in the truth and rebuke those who don't, or salvation may elude to both of us. Amen? Colossians 1:5 says, the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. The Thessalonians had a love for the truth. They loved the truth. And the truth is the gospel of Jesus Christ, in which they had much hope. This is 20 years after Jesus was crucified. Amen? About 20 years. But remember, they had thought they had missed the rapture, right? They thought they had missed the rapture. They thought they were in the tribulation, and they must have been under some serious persecution to think that, right? They were seriously being persecuted. And so Paul's reminding them of the salvation that they still have through Jesus Christ. Whatever they're going through, they still have this salvation through Jesus Christ. God had chosen them through the Spirit to save them for all eternity. God's intent has always been to save man, man made in His own image. God loves us and He wants to see none of us perish. Not one. Verse 14 says, He called you to this through our gospel that you might share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. God has fulfilled His promise by calling us through the gospel. It is the gospel that we should defend at all costs. Hence, Romans 1:16, right? And a lot of the Christian rappers love this verse. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation. Amen? And it's a great verse. That's another verse that kind of explains today's sermon. Amen? Now, the word ashamed in this verse should be translated to disappointed in the Greek. Amen? In the Greek, it kind of means disappointed. So, I'm not disappointed of the gospel. Paul was not disappointed because he knew that God was going to deliver him through all of his sufferings. Paul was not disappointed. A lot of today's Christians do seem ashamed of the gospel. A lot of them do. And much of society and social media says that we're either weird or we're idiots for believing in the gospel. Amen? A lot of social media, a lot of the world says that. There are also many leaders, professors, managers, government and state officials who make it their aim to undermine our faith for believing in the gospel. But we should never back down. Amen? We should never back down when it comes to our faith. Don't be argumentative or mean-spirited, but we should not back down. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. They may be book smart and have degrees or positions, but if they don't know the Bible, they're going to miss the most important promotion of their lives. Amen? If they don't have the Bible, they are going to miss the most important promotion of their lives. You may even get the opportunity to witness to them, right? Amen? You may get the opportunity to witness to them. God calls us to witness to even our superiors when need be. We should never be ashamed of the gospel. Now, there are many different ways to spread the gospel. One way is evangelism. And that's what we were out doing yesterday. I think I got some pictures. We were out there with Open Arms Ministry and Bags of Love Ministry, and we were out there praying, serving the homeless yesterday, giving them bags and blankets. It was freezing cold out there, And we went all down McDowell. We started at 51st and we went to 75th, 83rd. I mean, anywhere you go down McDowell, you'll find people, but they were very receptive. It was an awesome time out there. But this is what Jesus wants us to do. Amen. To go out and bring God's word and God's hope to others. And that's what we were doing. We're out there spreading God's love. Amen. Thank you, Christine. Can everybody stand up who was out there? Amen. Thank you, guys. God bless you. Amen. So we had I think we had more Amazing Grace people than anybody else, but we had four or five churches out there, and it was amazing. And you guys are awesome for doing that. You guys do it all the time. But God bless you. Amen. Don't cry, Jeff.
I know.
It was that amazing. It really was. But thanks be to God. Amen. Other ways. In music. By your music. By our worship. Amen. For years, that was how I got into the ministry. I played drums. We used to play with our band for Church on the Street in a dirt lot for like 4 years. We'd go out in the hood on 15th Street in Washington, and we would feed the homeless and feed the neighborhood, and they would, you know, someone would give the word, and we'd play music out there, rain or shine, you know, hot, cold, whatever. We were out there every other week, and that's another way. Amen. Another way to witness. Revival, having a revival like we did here. That was incredible, you know, it really was. And Amazing Grace just showed up and showed up big, you know. We got to do that again, but that was amazing. And ministry work, Celebrate Recovery, the jail ministry, you know, all the ministries. These are just many ways that we can share the gospel. And of course, prayer. Prayer, praying for others. In our hearts, praying for laying hands on people, just being there for others when they need us. Amen? Never be ashamed and always be ready to witness. Which brings us back to verse 14, which says, He called you to this through our gospel that you might share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. John 17:22 says, I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. In other words, those who are in Christ should be sharing the glory of Christ. If we're in Christ, if we're professed Christians, we should be out there sharing the word of Christ in everything we do. Testimony is one of the greatest examples of sharing the glory of Christ. Testimony is one of the greatest examples. Being in recovery for the last 15 years myself and being in Celebrate Recovery for the last 8, I've heard so many amazing testimonies of lives, eternal lives, saved through the power of Jesus Christ. Many testimonies. And now a lot of these people that gave their testimonies and continue to do so are leaders in this ministry and part of God's army. Amen? Many of them are. I've heard testimonies of many who have lost their way at an early age. Some as young as 5 or 6 years old were already out there, you know, just doing crazy stuff, you know? It's amazing, some of these testimonies. Many who had everything, who had the great job and the big house and lost it all to addiction. We've heard many of those testimonies as well. Some who have spent many years in incarceration, and some of those people are in our church, amen? And even some who have become pastors. Amen? Amen. Amen. But they all had something in common. They were all saved by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? All of them were saved by the power of the Holy Spirit. And they have all shared this glory with those who were lost and needed to hear it. And that's why we give our testimony. Because people need to hear these victory stories. Amen? It gives them hope. Hope for the hopeless. Amen? It sure does. And that's what God calls us to do. Amen? So now the Thessalonians are sharing in this glory of Jesus Christ. And the next verse says, verse 15 says, So then, brothers and sisters, stand firm and hold fast to the teachings that we passed on to you, whether by word of mouth or by letter. Clark wrote, the word paradosius, which we render tradition, means tradition, signifies anything delivered in the way of teaching, and here in verse 15, most obviously means the doctrines delivered by the apostle to the Thessalonians, whether in his preaching, private conversation, or by these letters. If there's anything lost in this lost and dying world needs more of today, it's people who will stand fast in Christ. It's people who will stand fast in Christ and not be ashamed of the gospel. Those who will teach and share with the lost about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Enduring Word wrote, it is only this anchor of God's Word that can enable us to stand fast like the Thessalonians under the weight of our present tribulation and the weight of our coming glory. But without this Word of God in our lives, we can be easily deterred by our situations. Without God's Word in our lives, we can be easily deterred by our situations, by our persecutions, by our lies. Now, many of us have and will face these persecutions and situations in our lives. But do we hold fast to the truth, or do we fall again for the lies? Do we continue to hold fast, or do we fall for the lies? Do we allow ourselves to be deceived, or do we stand firm in God's Word? It kept bringing a relapse to mind for me, but that's just a recovery term. But, you know, do we stand firm in God's Word? The world needs us to stand firm. Even those who call themselves unbelievers need prayer from time to time, right? And your faith is not so weird to them when their world's crashing down and they need prayer, right? Doesn't seem so weird then. And when they have nowhere else to turn, a lot of times they come to us for prayer, right? Amen. I had the pictures all over the place, but this is us praying for people yesterday, and that's just people praying together. People are going to dislike us, maybe even hate us for our faith. It's going to happen. But stand fast, because the kingdom of God needs each and every one of us. The kingdom of God needs us all. Galatians 5:1 says, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Do not be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Paul is saying, in light of what you're going through, stand firm. Don't go back to sin, and don't be a slave to those who by nature are not gods. Don't be a slave to a false god. Now, this speaks to a lot of us in this church. Those in recovery, those recently out of jail, or those just struggling with their faith. Paul's saying, keep going in the right direction and keep your eyes on the prize of salvation. Keep your eyes on the prize of salvation. Clutch tightly to the truth so that one day you may hear, well done, good and faithful servant. That's what it's all about. Amen? Amen. And finally, in the last verses, Paul prays. Paul prays. He says, may our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God our Father. So once again, they're one and the same, right? Everything that is being attributed to God is attributed to Jesus and vice versa, and also to the Spirit. So once again, we're talking about the Trinity, right? Triune God. There's another picture I found of the Trinity. Amen? The Holy Spirit, Jesus, and the Father. That's God, the Trinity. Amen? Says, who loved us and by His grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope. Encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word. This final prayer is not just meant for the first fruits in Thessalonica, but it's meant for the first fruits in our church today. So, as Christians, no matter what we're going through, the triune God, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, will love you and will strengthen you in every good deed and word through the midst of your trials and your tribulations and your pain. God is always there. So don't lose hope. And know that you are all children of God. Loved by God. And that He has chosen you to be saved. He has chosen you to be sanctified. And He has chosen us all to believe in the truth. To live in the truth. We have been called through the gospel. And through the gospel we should live to serve others and lead others to Christ. That's what we're called to do. There's always hope for the hopeless through God's amazing grace. Amen? Always hope through the hopeless. Thank you. Amen? Let us pray. Lord, as we enter this new year, we pray that You continue to bring us peace, healing, and prosperity. Lord, forgive us for any time that we fall short of Your glory. May we live in Your truth so that we may discern the lies of the evil one. And may You bring much hope to the hopeless. And may Amazing Grace Church and all of our affiliated ministries be instrumental in bringing others to Christ. May we honor Your name in taking part of the great commission that You have set before us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you guys.